Had the off week, so watching a lot of college football, looking at the highs and the lows from the SEC, plus reassessing the rest of the Tennessee football schedule and what the Vols' chances are in each of those games. Your Monday Locked On Vols, it happens now.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everybody, welcome into it. This is your Monday edition of Locked On Vols. I'm your host, Eric Kane. So happy that you guys elected to spend your Monday morning with me here on Locked On Vols. And a special thank you to LinkedIn for being the official college football recruiting sponsor across the Locked On Podcast Network. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. Terms and conditions, of course, apply. So we got a fun show coming up here today. We're going to start leaning more into the LSU preview. Of course, Tennessee at LSU coming up this Saturday now. Now that the off week is in the rearview mirror, you can start looking forward to the Tigers and LSU. That'll be a noon Eastern kick. And as you can see on the bottom line here, once it scrolls, if you're watching on YouTube, there it is. Kegs and eggs time. Of course, we knew this kickoff last week that it'd be a noon Eastern kick. But, man, thought it would be a 3:30, but this helps Tennessee. Again, I spoke on this a little last week. This helps Tennessee in a big way, in my opinion. I would look forward to the CBS crew coming back for a 3:30 kick for Tennessee and Alabama the following week. So that's what we have to look forward to in the coming weeks. But looking back around the SEC this past weekend, I mean, it looked a little weird, right? Whenever Tennessee's not on the schedule, you can watch college football and be stress-free. Am I right? Where did Tennessee stack up in the polls? All that and more coming up in segment number one. Looking forward to the Tennessee schedule. That's in segment two, the wins and losses. Has my prediction changed at all? Spoke on that with Boogie Bentley a little bit last week. And then we'll get back to a little bit of Tennessee recruiting here in segment three. Twitter Tuesday mailbag edition of the show coming up tomorrow. So get me in your questions, your comments, whatever you have for Twitter Tuesday. All right. Tennessee opens as a 3-point favorite on the road at LSU. That's per Bet Online. It doesn't necessarily come as a shock. I mean, Tennessee's the better football team. LSU's pretty high. It's pretty low. It's dealing with a couple of injuries right now. I do believe the quarterback, Jaden Daniels, is going to be okay, but we'll get more on his status as the week goes on, of course. But Tennessee opens as a road favorite this week in the Bayou against LSU. Tennessee's at number 8 in both the AP and college football coaches poll. Now, Tennessee was number 8 last week in the AP, I believe number 9 in the coaches, and didn't play over the weekend, but a ton of top 25 teams fell, of course, and so that means that there's going to be some shuffling. Tennessee checks in at number 8 once again. It stays stagnant. Oklahoma State moved from number 9 up to number 7 right in front of Tennessee, and that's, of course, coming off an 11-point win over Baylor at 36-25. You look at the rest of that top 20, or really that top 10 for the AP. It's Georgia sliding back from number 1 to number 2. Alabama leapfrogs them, and Alabama handled business, right? You had Bryce Young go out with a little bit of an AC sprain, it looked like, or at least that's what I've read, an AC joint injury, and those are super, super hurtful, painful, if you will. But had a backup quarterback come in, pulled away from Arkansas late in the 49-26 victory, and Alabama just did what Alabama did. I mean, it does. It just kind of continued to roll, no pun intended. So it leapfrogged Georgia, who Georgia really struggled. Now, I'm not going to lie to you, behind the curtain a little bit, I was away, and I was attending one of my best friend's wedding this weekend, so I was gone Friday, Saturday, and most of Sunday. And so I'm sitting there on my phone, you know, pulling up the games, watching. I'm in the back room where all the groomsmen are hanging out, drinking beer, you know, having fun, and, you know, just watching whatever game we can find, and, you know, watching a lot of that Georgia game, you know, during the reception, right? And Georgia just looked like crap, man. I mean, what's going on there? Obviously everybody is beatable, but to a team with the likes of Missouri, that was incredible. That kicker for Missouri, whoo, what a show, right? And Eli Drinkwitz punting the football away with, what was it, guys, three plus minutes on the clock, thinking you're going to get the football back. What are you doing? I understand you're backed up in your own territory, but you go for that fourth down. Nonetheless, Georgia does prevail. The good teams find a way to win a lot of the times, and they're able to persevere, and that's what Georgia did. But because of the performance, the lackluster performance against Kent State last week, and, of course, the lackluster performance against Missouri this week, Georgia slides from number one to number two, still undefeated at 5-0 on the season. And then Ohio State stays stagnant at number three. In fact, Ohio State, Michigan, Clemson, and USC all stay stagnant at 3, 4, 5, and 6. As I mentioned, Oklahoma State moves up from number 9 to number 7. Tennessee stays stagnant and had the off week, sitting at number 8. And then Ole Miss jumps up 5 spots after taking down Kentucky. That was another one of those football games that I was dialed into a little bit throughout the day on Saturday, whenever I could get in front of a TV because of ongoing affairs. 2 turnovers forced late in that football game. Some costly turnovers from Will Levis, Kentucky's quarterback. And you had Ole Miss able to take advantage of those turnovers and squeak out a win there. So Ole Miss undefeated. I still think that is such an easy football schedule. Kentucky, one of the more challenging football games on the slate. I understand you have to play Alabama this year, as you do every single year if you're Ole Miss. But still, the cross-divisional opponents for the SEC from the west to the east for Ole Miss, pretty lax. You know, pretty lax whenever you stack it up. Of course, Tennessee has Alabama every year, and then going to LSU to play the Tigers this year. So anyway, Ole Miss takes care of business, moves up 2 spots. And then you have Penn State at 10, Utah at 11. Oregon slides up to number 12, and Kentucky slides back 6 spots to number 13. The SEC teams that are ranked inside the AP top 25 this week, as I mentioned, Alabama's 1, Georgia slides down to 2. Tennessee is the 3rd highest ranked SEC team, coming in at number 8. Ole Miss at 9. You have Kentucky sliding back to 13. Mississippi State debuts in the poll. They're up there at number 23. And then LSU jumps in at number 25 as well. So this will be a top 25 showdown this week at LSU. Tennessee at number 8, LSU at number 25. So we mentioned a couple of those games across the SEC this week. Alabama taking care of business, just continuing to do what it does and pulling away from Arkansas. You know what's funny? Arkansas is a good, solid team. Sam Pittman is doing a great job of the rebuild there. But in the same sense, this is 2 years in a row where they crept inside the top 10 and they start playing the heart of the schedule and they get, they come back down to earth in a hurry, right? Tennessee is in the top 10. Tennessee is going to have some games to where it could potentially come back down to earth. Of course, Alabama is up on the schedule coming up later. Georgia is up on the schedule coming up later. Tough matchups like this week, LSU and Kentucky. So we'll have to see if Tennessee can survive and kind of weather the storm, if you will, because Arkansas for the 2nd straight year has come back down to earth pretty hard, right? We mentioned Georgia looking lackluster against Missouri, Ole Miss, a couple late turnovers forced against Kentucky, Mississippi State over Texas A&M. I didn't watch any of this game. Again, this is during the wedding and the reception. Didn't watch any of this football game, but I kept looking at the score. I'm like, goodness gracious, 42-24? My goodness, what in the world is going on with Texas A&M? And I don't think Texas A&M is a world beater, but that just goes to show you, as I was talking to one of my friends, last night or Saturday night, it just goes to show you what having a quarterback can do, right? You are never, ever, ever out of a football game, or never, ever, ever positioned to just not be a factor in a football game if you have a quarterback that can go and make the throws. And that's what Mississippi State has in Will Rogers. So Mississippi State all over A&M, 42-24. And then LSU down 17-0, or excuse me, in a 17-point hole at one point in time, lost a cornerback. Quarterback got banged up a little bit, but comes back and beats Auburn. And I'll tell you what, I still don't see why Brian Harsin has a job. It's incredible. Go ahead and cut the cord. I'm telling you what, at the time of this recording, he's still the head football coach. I mean, that could always change, but you're just killing yourself in recruiting. Until you get a direction, until you cut ties and try to sever what's there, you're just prolonging the inevitable. Get rid of Brian Harsin and start over if you are Auburn. So those are some of the highlights from the college football SEC weekend. Of course, Tennessee staying at number 8 in both the AP poll, moving up to number 8 in the coaches poll. And Tennessee opens as a 3-point favorite on the road at LSU. That is per Bet Online. We'll continue to preview that game as the week goes on right here at Locked On Vols. And we're really, really looking forward to that as the week goes on, as we always are. We're going to take a look at the rest of Tennessee's schedule and kind of take a glance at, you know, what Tennessee looks like now on paper in these matchups. Talk a little win-loss record as the show goes on. But these days are every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the right people for your team faster and for free. go ahead and post your job, then add your job with the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you are indeed hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so that you can quickly prioritize who you like to interview and ultimately hire. It's why small businesses rank LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus the leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster and for free. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. That's linkedin.com/lockedoncollege to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. We continue on with this Monday edition of Locked On Vols. So glad to have you guys here with us. Don't forget, at underscore Kaner and at Locked On Vols, Twitter Tuesday, mailbag edition of the show. That is coming up tomorrow. So DM me, tweet me. You can find me on Facebook. I try to bookmark all the questions you guys put in the comment section on YouTube. I will find it to the best of my abilities. If I don't, I apologize. But I will find it and I'll bring it onto the show every Tuesday. Twitter Tuesday, it's when you guys take over the show right here on Locked On Vols. All right, so something I spoke with Boogie on last week, and I know you guys are loving that Locked On Talking Vols crossover. Plan to do that every Friday here on the show, so really, really looking forward to that. And, of course, I'll be making appearances on his podcast as well throughout football season. You know, has anything changed in terms of the win-loss record for Tennessee? The month of September was pivotal for Tennessee. Yeah, two swing games, two not-easy football games on the road at Pittsburgh, and then, of course, against Florida. You got the monkey off your back against the Gators, which is huge. I think you're the better football team compared to Florida, but obviously you can see that Florida can play, you know, have career games. Anthony Richardson, we knew this. Anthony Richardson looked like complete crap, but we said on this podcast, Anthony Richardson will have a career day against the Volunteers because that's what happens. And golly, over 500 yards of total offense. That is just awful. This defense needs to get back up there and get some confidence. It does, and hopefully this week it can do that against LSU. But nonetheless, you got the win. You held on. You got the win over Florida. You found a way to win on the road at Pittsburgh when your offense, as bad as the defense was in the second half against Florida, it was that much impressive in the second half against Pittsburgh, okay? And I know a lot of people are just saying like, oh, well, if Keaton Slovis will play the whole football game, you know, that might have been a different story. Maybe. But again, you never root for injury, but Tennessee knocked him out. And that's not nothing, right? I mean, I continue to hear that, you know, and it bugs me. Like, again, you don't want anyone to get hurt. You're not rooting for injury. But the fact that Tennessee knocked Keaton Slovis out of the football game, that's something, right? So anyway, Tennessee found a way to win the football game, right? And college football was so weird, right? As we spoke on in segment one, you had Missouri almost beating Georgia. You had Mississippi State just railroading Texas A&M. You had Georgia Tech, after firing its coach, beating Pittsburgh. College football is weird, and that's why we love it. We love the weird. We embrace the weirdness, right? And so that's just kind of how it is. But Tennessee wasn't a part of that storyline in September. Tennessee handled business. Now the slate gets challenging. Off week. After four games, it's not ideal, but it is what it is. And, you know, strangely enough, it kind of came at the right time, giving Cedric Tillman more chances to heal up. We'll see. I think he's still very questionable for this football game. We'll see as the week goes on, giving Dylan Sampson more time, Jabari Small with that shoulder, of course, Warren Burrell, D. Williams, and, of course, Hendon Hooker, who Josh Heupel said would be fine last week at his media availability. But, you know, he was kind of going through some things against Florida on his way to a career day as well. But now you're at LSU. It's going to be tough. I pegged this as a loss all offseason long. I did, just because I knew that it would likely be an afternoon and or evening game, and because I know LSU's got a lot of talent on that roster. I still believe those things. I still think LSU has a lot of talent on that roster. I do. But now I have a better understanding of what Tennessee can do and where Tennessee is offensively and really defensively, too, with some of the things I've seen from that unit through four games. Tennessee's a better football team. I'm picking Tennessee to win this football game. I am. You know, we'll see. It's going to be a challenge. If Tennessee loses, it won't shock me. But Tennessee's a better football team. Tennessee go out there and ride the hot hand of its quarterback, Hendon Hooker, and try to make some stops. And, again, I'm not trying to be rude, but, I mean, can you be – knocking on my wood desk here – can you be any worse than you were in the second half against Florida, right, defensively? So – go down there and get a win. I had that as a win for Tennessee. And as I talked about with Boogie as well, I think the absolute floor for this team now, since you got out of September 4-0, the absolute full floor was 8-4. 8-4 was my preseason pick for Tennessee. You know me, I am always conservative. I will always, always, always be reserving my picks. That's just kind of how I am, right? But I have Tennessee winning at LSU. Alabama, anything can happen. Anything can happen. But I did see an Alabama team find a way to pull away and score a whole lot of points against a solid Arkansas team on the road, right? That game was on the road. Yeah, on the road, and find a way to win that football game. Just showing why Alabama is Alabama, and it's got depth, it's got good coaching and all that type of stuff. It's going to be a challenge. I think Tennessee can hang with them. I think Tennessee can give them a scare. I think Tennessee could win this game. I do. As I said in preseason, there's not a game on the schedule I don't think Tennessee can win. But will it? That's a different story. I have Alabama as a loss. That's not changing. I have Alabama as a loss. UT Martin's going to be a win. That's self-explanatory. Kentucky is going to be an absolute challenge because just like Florida, Kentucky has looked so vanilla and so mediocre offensively. It's been stout defensively at times, but it's looked so mediocre offensively, much like a lot of Kentucky teams. But the difference is when it plays Tennessee, it'll go off, right? Mark Stoops changed the way he does offense last year against Tennessee to try to beat Tennessee at its own game. And hello, it nearly worked. I expect that to be similar this go around. I expect Will Levis to be pretty decent at this go around as well. That is going to be a dogfight. I'll pick Tennessee to win because it's going to be at home. And I think Tennessee is still a better football team, but Kentucky's solid. Kentucky is a solid football team, and Kentucky can win that football game. But I'll pick Tennessee to win. And I never thought Kentucky was a top 10 football team this year. Thought it was a bit overrated. Let's see what they say about Tennessee being a top 10 football team once it starts getting truly tested here in this back half of the schedule. Georgia, again, anything's possible. Missouri gave them all they could handle. Got mediocre quarterback play for the longest time. Ignored Brock Bowers in the red zone. Don't know what that's about. Still picking that as a loss right now. Tennessee can win. Same spill from Alabama earlier in the schedule. Tennessee can win. Tennessee can hang with them. Tennessee can give them a scare. Of course, Tennessee can win this football game, but will it? Right now, I'll say no. I just think that there's too much depth and experience, and a lot of that will take over in the second half. So I have that as a loss. Missouri, great game. Missouri is still trash, in my opinion. Tennessee will beat Missouri on the road at South Carolina. Can give you a scare because you have a quarterback, but Tennessee should win that football game. And then on the road at Vanderbilt to conclude the season. Vanderbilt's improving, in my opinion, but I still have Tennessee winning that game. So if you're keeping tally at home right now or in your cubicle or on the treadmill or in your car or whatever, wherever you're listening or watching this show right now, that would come out to a 10-2 record. I'm not saying Tennessee will be 10-2 by season's end, but much like I said, you know, all offseason, Tennessee can win 10 games on the schedule. Tennessee, if we just go through the lines here, Tennessee's a betting favorite against LSU. Tennessee will be an underdog against Alabama. Tennessee will be a favorite against UT Martin. Tennessee will likely be a favorite against Kentucky. Tennessee will be an underdog against Georgia. Tennessee will be a betting favorite against Missouri. Tennessee will likely be a betting favorite on the road against South Carolina. And Tennessee will be a betting favorite on the road at Vanderbilt. That is 6-2, and meaning Tennessee will be favored in 6 of the remaining 8 football games left on the schedule. Tennessee can win 10 games, but as college football reminds us, as the SEC reminds us, those games on the road against LSU, at home against Kentucky, on the road against South Carolina, they can get weird in a hurry. Weird like fourth quarter weird against Florida, leading the Gators by 11 with over a minute left to play. It can get weird. So football's got a great way of humbling us big time. It truly, truly does. But those are my thoughts on the rest of the schedule for Tennessee. I'm going to pick Tennessee this week to beat LSU on the road because I think Tennessee's got one of the best quarterbacks in the country right now. And offensively, it's flowing. Let's see what happens. And of course, from that win, we'll have takeaways going forward through the rest of the season. But coming off an off week where Tennessee didn't play, I thought we could just reassess, revisit the schedule a little bit. Those are my thoughts moving forward for Tennessee on this season. All right, let's get a couple of recruiting tidbits. I know we talked to John Garcia last week, but I want to get back and give a couple more names that we might have failed to mention here before we end our show on a Monday. All right, Locked On Vols, big, proud partners with Bet Online. I mentioned the line coming up for Tennessee on the road, opening as 3-point favorites at LSU, and that's courtesy of our friends over at BetOnline. BetOnline.net, your number one source for your football betting information this season. You can find our latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, an in-depth article, and analysis on every game that you can possibly find. And as always, BetOnline remains your continued source for your sports wagering information with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. The fastest and easiest way to check in on your on all your favorite games and events, including Major League Baseball. Just one series left remaining in the regular season. Then the playoffs are right around the corner. Man, my Atlanta Braves are cutting it close. Am I right? To try to get that NL East divisional title. But Major League Baseball, MMA, boxing, golf, whatever you want, head on over to the website today or check out BetOnline on your mobile device to learn about all the latest trends and all the action. BetOnline, it is where the game starts. We got one final segment left here on this Monday edition of Locked On Vols, available for free. Subscribe on YouTube. We're almost to 4,000 subscribers. I think we can easily get that by the end of the week. So let's get to 4K by the end of the week, if you wouldn't mind. And of course, the ultimate goal is to 5K by the end of the football season. But guys, I think that we are going to have no issues there getting to 5K by the end of the football season. But not just on YouTube, wherever you find your podcast, completely free. Just please subscribe and rate 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Leave me a positive review. Really do appreciate you guys. All right, so we caught up with John Garcia. Love catching up with John Garcia. I know you guys do as well. Director of recruiting over at Sports Illustrated. He was on the show, guys, what was it, Friday? Maybe Thursday? Can't remember. He was on the show. We handed out a few names. We talked about where Tennessee is in this recruiting class and whatnot. Quick recap or overview of that conversation, and then a couple more names that we'll mention coming up here in segment three. But, you know, right now, Tennessee still sits with 21 commits for the class of 2023. That is 13th, the national rank per the On3 consensus rankings. Tennessee is at number 13, and the SEC teams that are ahead of Tennessee right now, courtesy of these On3 consensus rankings, Florida is at number 10, LSU is at number 6, you have Georgia at number 2, and then Alabama is at number 1. Alabama has 23 commits right now, 4 5-stars, 16 4-stars, and 3 3-stars. Alabama sits at number 1. Georgia, meanwhile, again, 20 total commits, 16 4-stars, 4 3-stars, no 5-stars. Let's go on down to LSU, who's at number 6, 22 commits, no 5-stars, 18 4-stars, and 4 3-stars. Florida, who is at number 10, 20 overall commits, 15 4-stars, and 5 3-stars. Go to Tennessee. Tennessee has 21 total commits, 1 5-star. Of course, that's quarterback Nico Iamaleava, who threw 5 touchdown passes in the first half of his game on Friday. He looks to be in midseason form. It is midseason for the high school football season. So I guess that is that little play on words there was actually accurate. But Tennessee, 21 commits, 1 5-star, and quarterback Nico Iamaleava, 8 4-stars and 12 3-stars for the University of Tennessee. And you look at that, Nico leads the way, the 5-star quarterback. You have Caleb Herring, the number one player in the state of Tennessee, an edge rusher. Shandavian Bradley, the number, I guess, is probably the 5th best player in the state of Missouri, but a top 100 overall prospect for Tennessee in the On3 consensus rankings. Ethan Davis, the tight end. Boy, Tennessee needs a tight end so bad because, of course, you have Alex Golish that loves what he's getting from both Jacob Warren and Princeton Fant right now. But, you know, Miles Campbell is supposed to be somebody big, and so far he has just not panned out. And you need someone to step in and play and expand that role. And I think that Ethan Davis could be that guy, but of course he'll be a freshman next year. But of course he's in this class. Cameron Seldon, the athlete, top 115 player. He's in the class. Jordan Matthews, a top 135 players in the class. The cornerback, Sylvester Smith, a top 250 players in the class at safety. Sham Umarov, the offensive tackle, he's in the class. He's a top 300 player in the country. Tyree Weathersby, who got a big ratings boost here lately. He is a baller on the defensive line. Nathan Laycock, who, you know, I had, and hopefully we'll bring to the show at some point this week, but I talked to him over at ballquest.com last week, and goodness, man, he is off to a strong, strong start to his senior campaign. He's in this class. Ricky Gibson, cornerback, Trevor Duncan of Knox Catholic, Jalen Smith, a tackle machine at Grayson, the linebacker, Nathan Robinson of Greenbrier High School, defensive lineman, Christian Conyer, the number one player in the state of Kentucky, John Slaughter, a talented safety, from Alabama. He's in this class. From Mississippi, South Haven, Mississippi. He's in this class. Jeremiah Tealander, probably the most productive player in Tennessee's class right now. Just I talked about Jalen Smith being a tackle machine. Jeremiah Tealander, an absolute tackle machine, a linebacker for Gainesville in Georgia. Offensive lineman from Mount Juliet, Aiden Bustle. Jack Luttrell, the safety from Colquitt County, Georgia. Will Stallings, the running back. I know he's playing a little linebacker, but the running back, that's where Tennessee likes him. Formerly of Bishop Gorman High School, still playing high school football out west. And then Nate Spillman of Lewiston Academy. That's Tennessee's names, the commits in the class so far. Spoke on Devin Hobbs, 5-star defensive tackle. His recruitment is really ticking up here lately. I mean, he's a top 25 player in the country. He came on an official visit for the Florida game. He is going to see Tennessee 2 more times in person, likely to be back for the Alabama game, which is shaping up as a huge recruiting weekend for the University of Tennessee. And then he'll be at Georgia when Tennessee takes on Georgia. Of course, Alabama and Georgia are big time, competitors for Tennessee in the race to get Davin Hobbs. North Carolina's in this as well, but as I mentioned with John, he won't say it, but I'll say it. North Carolina's not in this race anymore. But he's going to see Tennessee play at least 2 more times, so that's big, coming off an official visit last weekend against Florida. Offensive lineman Bison Lang, who is also on an official visit against Florida. Tennessee's looking good there right now. You know, we'll have to see exactly when they can close the door, but I think Tennessee's looking good there. An athlete from Smyrna, Tennessee, big time late rising prospect, picking up a ton of Power 5 offers here lately. And we spoke about him with John Garcia, Arian Carter, the Memphis commit currently right now. He's going to start taking official visits the second half of the season. He will be back for Tennessee and Alabama for an official visit for Tennessee. So that's someone to look forward to there. Defensive lineman Keldrick Falk, who is still a Florida State commit. We'll have to see if potentially Tennessee can get him back for the Alabama game. They're going to continue to swing there. Here's the new name in the 2023 class, Khalifa Keith. He's a running back from Georgia, and he is a commit to Kentucky right now. Tennessee's not offered him yet, but I expect Tennessee to offer him soon, and then I would expect Tennessee to host him on an official visit soon as well. So Tennessee's continuing to kick the tires, trying to find another running back in this class to join Will Stallings and Cam Seldon, who can play running back a little bit. Tennessee needs another running back. No ifs, ands, buts about it. Khalifa Keith potentially could be that, and we will see if Tennessee can get him in once Tennessee offers. And, of course, Deshaun Bishop, nearby Karnes High School, continues to be a name that Tennessee is evaluating at the running back position. And then one other note, 2024 wide receiver MJ Bennett. MJ Bennett, he put out his top 8 on Saturday, and that is the likes of South Carolina, Oregon, Florida State, Georgia, Tennessee, North Carolina, Miami, and Alabama. Top 8 for MJ Bennett. He will announce on October the 16th. That is when his commitment date will be. He's a class of 2024 wide receiver. I think Tennessee's in a real good space here. We'll have to see if they can close it, but I like Tennessee where they are with MJ Bennett, the 2024 wide receiver, and see if Tennessee can get another commit for the class of 2024 when that day comes up. All right, so that's a little bit of recruiting news here to conclude a Monday episode. Your Twitter Tuesday questions, your comments, whatever you want, slot in those DMs at _Kaner, at @LockedOnVols. Tweet me, hit me up on Facebook and the comments on the YouTube on the comment section. Holler at me there. It's when you guys take over the show. That's tomorrow, every Tuesday right here on Locked On Vols. Guys, can't thank you enough for supporting the show, hanging out with me each and every day. I say it all the time, guys, but I promise you have no idea how much it means to me. This is my livelihood. This is my job. So your support is so, so, so appreciated. And the support of Locked On SEC with Chris Gordy. Go ahead and give him some love as well. If you're looking for another podcast now that Locked On Balls is over here for Monday, check out Locked On SEC with Chris Gordy. Make that your second listen behind Locked On Balls, which is your first listen each and every day. We'll have more from Chris Gordy and Caroline Fenton. I'm really looking forward to hanging out with those guys. Probably on Thursday's episode, we'll do a little crossover action for Tennessee and LSU, a little Locked On version of that. All right, guys, same time, same place. Pull up a chair, and we'll do it again tomorrow. This is Locked On Vols.